This is Virginia Insight. I'm Tom Graham. What is art? What is culture? Are they the types of things you find hard to define, but know them when you see them? Are they important in your world? And if so, how important? These are the kind of questions a group of community leaders in the greater Charlottesville region grappled with for close to a year. Now, they've come up with some fascinating answers, not the least of which arts and culture are generating far more millions of dollars for their local economy than most anyone would previously have guessed. Of course, some people would argue that wherever you live, arts and culture have an impact on quality of life, too. And if that's your view, we figured you'd want to discover more about the Charlottesville area findings and how something similar might be relevant for your community. So discover more we will, right after the news. Great to be with you. I'm Tom Graham, and this is Virginia Insight. 888-WMRA-TALK is how to reach us by phone. We are looking for your insight this hour on one or more of the following questions. What's your definition of culture? How do you define art? To what degree are arts and culture of value in your community? Our guests have perspective to share on all of this, but since that perspective has been informed by a series of public surveys, I know that they're going to want to be open to hearing your thoughts as well. And our thought lines are now open at 888-967-2825. Sarah Lawson is executive director of the Piedmont Council for the Arts. Dr. George Beller chairs that council's board of directors. And Robert Vaughn III is president of the Virginia Foundation for the Humanities. It is a delight to see you all in the Insight studio. Thank you so very much for making time for us.
We're very pleased to be here.
We are indeed. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Now, I know all three of you have been involved in a new effort to celebrate, calibrate, and expand appreciation of the arts in your region of the Commonwealth. And we're going to ask you to tell us much more about that in a few moments. But cardiologist Dr. George Beller, I want to turn to you with the foundation level questions first. What are arts and culture, and why are they so important to you personally?
Well, Tom, I think that's a really good way to start this discussion. I'd like to define arts and culture in the broader sense. You know, when we talk about arts, we talk about the visual arts, the performing arts. We talk about music. We talk about festivals that communities have that celebrate all types of expressions of art and culture. And in culture, we also have, for instance, in Virginia and in Charlottesville particularly, we have the historical sites that provide educational messages to people like in Monticello about their past. But in the broadest sense, it's you could count everything that can be defined under this umbrella that improve both the quality of life in a community and that also have significant economic impact. For instance, some of our festivals bring in quite a bit of revenue to our community. We call that cultural tourism. So I think in the broadest sense, anything that you can define that relates to the arts in quotation marks could be included. Even rare books.
George, that economic factor that you just mentioned, does that address part B of my question, which is why is this stuff so important to you?
Well, first of all, I think it's important in any community for the vibrancy of a community to have the availability of a rich arts environment. But also, as we found, as we'll talk about later in our economic prosperity study, the arts actually generate quite a bit of income in a community and tax revenue for city and county government.
That's very much the case. I want to go back from a broad perspective, which George just laid out, to a narrower perspective about the arts, culture, and add the word humanities into this, since I work for an organization in the humanities. And a component of the arts and culture clearly is drawn from the historical record, and you mentioned that, Monticello, for example. I'm thinking where we're sitting right now, Singer's Glen, which is just down the road from us, and other institutions of that kind and historic sites. In the Singer's Glen, it's music, and it dates back for a couple hundred years along the way here. But I also want to narrow it even further and think about children, for example, and the role of reading books, sometimes reading books aloud to children, for instance, is an introduction to the arts and culture in any community, in any family, in any child's education and growth and development going forward, to the point where she might attend a concert even at 3 or 4 years old, or he might participate in an orchestra or a band. So the arts and humanities and culture are pervasive, and the more pervasive they are, the more economic development results, the more building of community is a consequence.
Absolutely. I completely agree with Rob there. And I think that in addition to the arts education perspective, there's also just the encouragement of creativity in our culture and in our citizens. And I think that that's a really important part of what we're trying to do, is just really providing an inclusive definition of arts and culture so that everyone can feel like whatever their creative outlet is, it is part of what we're talking about. And I think that's really important.
Do you think contemporary American society values creativity as much as maybe it did 100 years ago, or maybe just 15 years ago?
I think definitions of creativity are evolving, personally. I think that you see things like Instagram and all the different technological developments as a really great outlet for people who might not consider themselves an artist, but really have this creative focus in their life and want to express themselves. And that's wonderful.
And, you know, the whole area of innovation, of, you know, startup companies and attracting people to your community who have this vision of, you know, starting new ventures. I think that what attracts them to a community like Charlottesville, for example, is because of the wide variety of offerings in the arts and culture for their children, for their families. And I know in my cardiology department, it's a big recruiting a pearl that you can come to a community and not have to travel 2 hours to Washington to go to the Kennedy Center, that we now have theater, we have the Paramount Theater, we have a symphony orchestra, a chamber music festival. So that's really very helpful in bringing the creative types to come and want to, you know, work and live in your community.
Well, Rob Vaughn, there's this thing that I guess the shorthand name for it is Create Charlottesville, or maybe Create Charlottesville / Albemarle, that you've been the co-chair of for more than a year now.
Yes, I have.
please explain what it is and what you've been doing.
Well, we set out more than a year ago, probably closer to two or perhaps before that, because it was already somewhat underway, or at least the concept was there and the funds were raised by others. I came in as one of the co-chairs of the Create Charlottesville Enterprise Committee, whatever you want to call it. And in fact, back to George's notion of creativity and entrepreneurial and innovation, this was an entrepreneurial and innovative activity in and of itself.
I understand the full title of it is Create Charlottesville Albemarle, a Cultural Plan. So that gives kind of a hint that you were hoping to plan for something.
We were hoping to take a look at what Charlottesville and Albemarle already offer, at how the multiple enterprises that go on in this community relate to each other, how they can build and reinforce each other's activities and collaborate, how they can then go beyond that and cooperate and collaborate with the University of Virginia, for example, or with Piedmont Virginia Community College, or with the city government or the County Board of Supervisors, with businesses in the area. What could Create Charlottesville do to strengthen community, economic development, activity that would draw people into Charlottesville and that would sustain and support these activities? Because supporting them is critical.
Well, Rob, I understand two of the things that you did as part of this huge effort that, as you say, went on for well over a year. One was a number of surveys of the general public, as well as people with obvious interest in the arts. You were also in different circumstances asking sort of John and Jane Q. public what their attitude toward the arts was. And then also measuring economic results or economic impact. And I guess I got to ask you first about that second one, because I don't know what kind of definition you were using for arts and culture when you were measuring what kind of impact it was having on the greater Charlottesville region.
That is a good question. I want to refer initially to the survey. I think there were 999 people.
Yep.
Why weren't there 1,000? I never did. I always wondered what that answer was.
Almost got there.
Almost got there. Who were involved in this enterprise and the survey component of it. But as far as the economic development, what are the components of that? I wanted to ask Sarah to weigh in on this. I can describe the economic impacts of the Virginia Festival of the Book, for example, which spends about $250,000 a year, and the economic impact is over $4 million just in the Charlottesville-Albemarle area. But other examples of that, Sarah or George?
Yeah, so the Arts and Economic Prosperity Study that PCA hosted in 2011 is
Piedmont
what—
Piedmont Council for the Arts.
Exactly,
for
thank
those
you.
For people in Lexington elsewhere.
And even though our name is Piedmont Council for the Arts, I should note that we primarily work in Charlottesville and Albemarle and then do outreach to surrounding counties. But the economic impact study was specifically focused on the greater Charlottesville region. And our definition for arts and culture for that was much more focused than what we've been talking about here today. Specifically, it only dealt with nonprofit arts organizations. So anything from Festival of the Book to... what's another good example?
Ashland Opera.
Ashland Opera and any of the local nonprofit institutions. So it was fairly limited. And the data that we got in return from Americans for the Arts, who were the kind of processing organization that led this study throughout the entire nation, the data that we got locally was quite impressive for the entire arts community. The impact that is had on the local economy is about $114 million per year. And so that is all money that wouldn't be in the community otherwise if there weren't arts events going on and arts organizations employing people. I should also mention that almost 2,000 full-time equivalent jobs are provided by the arts sector in Charlottesville and Albemarle as well. And so it's definitely a sector that kind of necessitates more attention and really draws focus.
You know, one thing.
This is George Miller.
Yeah, just George. We did include, and in one part of it, also the... economic benefit of the John Paul Jones Arena, which is brings in big concerts, and the pavilion as part of that. And they're really sort of for profit, but.
Well, and actually, so JPJ actually operates under UVA, and so technically is a nonprofit. Right. And the pavilion is operated as if it were a nonprofit.
Right. But they were included.
But
what
are,
was one statistic that I thought was extremely interesting was the average amount people spent who came from out of town when they came to a concert or came to, you know, one of the festivals. And it turned out to average almost more than any other city that were surveyed in this kind of American for the Arts one-year survey.
Across the U.S.?
Across, yeah, especially in our, well, in our bracket of population, which went up to about 250,000. And in fact, this $114 million that Sarah talked about that was generated for the arts was the second largest revenue stream for the arts and culture of any city in the United States our size. And Providence, Rhode Island, was the only one that generated more, and they have significantly greater population. But this amount spent per person, that's hotel meals on the average, was about $68 per person spent from coming from out of town. And that helped generate this total of $114 million per year.
Former longtime chief of cardiology at the University of Virginia and passionate arts and culture advocate, Dr. George Beller is one of our guests. Sitting next to him, Virginia Foundation for the Humanities President Rob Vaughn and Piedmont Council for the Arts Executive Director Sarah Lawson. This is Virginia Insight. I'm Tom Graham. As you can hear from what Dr. Beller was just telling us, we're looking at economic impact that was found in a particular survey in a particular region of Virginia, but we're also looking at wider questions like, do you support the arts? What do you think arts are? What is culture? Is it important in your community? Do you have some guess on how it may resonate economically where you live? Any of your thoughts about arts and culture are welcome. We're going to continue in a bit more than 1 minute, and we'll be giving out the phone number soon, too. Sarah Lawson once thought she was going to be a veterinarian. But in college, in addition to animals, she also fell in love with working with arts-oriented nonprofits. So although her background includes working for the SPCA, for almost 2 years now she has served as executive director of the Piedmont Council for the Arts. Former Harvard School of Medicine faculty member George Beller came to Charlottesville in 1977 as chief of cardiology for the University of Virginia Medical School, a post he held for almost 30 years. But through much of that time, arts and culture were of primary interest. Today, Dr. Beller serves as volunteer chair of the Piedmont Council's Board of Directors. And then there's former high school English teacher Rob Vaughn, who was working on his PhD at UVA back in the early 70s when he got a call from the university's president, who had an idea for setting up a humanities foundation. Dr. Vaughn has now served as president of what became known as the Virginia Foundation for the Humanities for the past 40 years. Ms. Lawson, Dr. Beller, Dr. Vaughn, our guests on Virginia Insight. I'm Tom Graham, and we have this from Mike on our Facebook page who says, quote, "Isn't art one of those things that you know it when you see it? And what is art to me may not be to the person standing next to me." Sarah Lawson?
Yeah, I think Mike brings up a really good point that a lot of people do feel a little intimidated by art sometimes. There's this idea of it being a very exclusive club almost where you're, you know, a good artist or you go see fine art at a museum. But really, what Piedmont Council for the Arts and what my personal interest is in broadening that definition and making people feel welcome and really kind of expanding and making it more inclusive as an arts community, both in Charlottesville and Albemarle, but also, I mean, throughout the entire state of Virginia and just worldwide even. I think that that's a trend that it's becoming more bottom up than top down. There's just a lot of crowd involvement in art now, and it's really exciting to see that development and see people feeling more comfortable and more included.
You know, with the new technology, you could see children now with their, you know, video capabilities on their, you know, iPads and everything, start creating videos and movies. I mean,
well, we have Ed calling us from Folks Run, and I have a suspicion, Dr. Beller, that his question may relate to what you were just saying. So let's find out. Ed, thanks for joining us on Virginia Insight. Your question or comment for our guests, please.
Yes. I was wondering why there isn't more culture programs in public schools. Before I became college educated, I was about as concerned to as culture as I was that, like driving a truck. I mean, it just didn't bother me. But I'd like to know why there isn't more taught in the lower school grades.
I think that's certainly one of the primary goals of the Create Charlottesville enterprise, was to develop educational components, educational activities, educational incentives, and educational programs in the public schools, beginning even as low as Head Start, for example, but certainly going up into high school. And finding ways so that kids could really grab hold of what arts and culture is and find out what joy, what fun they could have as a consequence. And as a sort of back to the original Facebook post or whatever that kind of post that was from the internet.
It was from Mike.
Yeah.
Talking about what is art.
That related here to me in a specific example. I'm thinking about the Virginia Festival of the Book, which I was involved in founding 20 years ago, and there was an impetus from the high culture crowd that this should be a literary festival, and that group defined what literary meant. The festival was created to be a festival for people who were read books or were interested in knowing about books, and we have for 20 years insisted that we don't define what kind of book constitutes something worth reading. It's whatever you're reading, whether that's a cookbook or some other kind of book. So the arts are not just what you might consider a high kind of component. They're open to everybody. They should be open to everybody. And the ways that you define them are as important as the ways that I define them.
But Dr. George Beller, Ed's concern about children being exposed to more culture in schools, especially at early grades. You were saying just before we brought Ed into the conversation that you thought in some ways technology is increasing the degree to which children have an exposure.
Oh, I definitely think so. I mean, every iPhone has a camera, has a video camera. And there are opportunities now for almost all the communities for kids, say, interested in making movies to be able to, you know, get a mentor and do this in school. And so it doesn't have to be just typical painting or performance or playing the violin in an orchestra. It can be quite broad. And I think schools that are thinking forward, are forward thinking, will expand this definition of art and creativity.
I'm curious there in Folks Run, when you say that you want to see more culture in schools, tell us a little bit more of what that might look like to you.
Oh, exposing younger children to things that might not be third grade level. Like, you know, you might think as a painting to a kid. You know, if you go in for a psychiatric test, they give you all these dots and squares and circles and things to look at. And in a way, that's a sort of an art. But who defines what that is? I mean, that would go back to the school. I mean, who is to say there's a child that's interested in music, okay? But the only thing that's going on in that school is they're teaching math, you know, and they're skipping the whole culture part of it. The whole, I mean, I just don't understand why it's not being taught in the lower grades for the younger children.
Yeah, Ed, I think that's a really good point. I think that there is an emphasis on kind of all of the topics that are covered by the SOLs now, especially in the state of Virginia. And often the arts and culture side of education gets a little bit of, gets, you know, the short end of the stick, shall we say. But I think that part of what the cultural plan that we've been talking about focused on was really finding ways to help promote knowledge about programs that are already in place. So I know in Charlottesville, anyway, we're extremely lucky to have good support for arts in the schools. And so there are lots of programs that have already been established and can be used as models throughout the rest of the state to make it a little bit easier. So it's not starting from scratch each time, but it's really finding ways to replicate what we already know works. And that's true, not just of Charlottesville, but obviously of other places that have made that investment and have really had the time and the support to be able to expand the educational opportunities. But also the cultural plan focuses on ways to further expand those. So I think those strategies within the plan are really interesting for areas outside of Charlottesville, because they focus on things that everyone can do to improve arts in their schools. So it's a matter of finding those community partners that can provide instructors. And so, you know, finding someone who does want to come in and teach music in the school, or who is an expert in video creation and can lead an after-school workshop, and really maximizing those resources.
Ed, thank you so very much for your call. We're talking about arts and culture, how much value you see it having in your world, in your community, and some fascinating research that's been done in one particular community in our listening area. If you want to join the conversation, we do have phone lines open at 888-WMRA. Talk, our guests, Robert Vaughn, president of the Virginia Foundation for the Humanities, Sarah Lawson, executive director of the Piedmont Council for the Arts, and Dr. George Beller, chair of that council's board of directors. This is Virginia Insight. I'm Tom Graham. Dr. Beller, you were the one who mentioned to me at one point, I think sometime within the past couple of weeks, that this survey that Rob was talking about, in addition to all the other economic factors, it identified that on an annual basis, local and state government are harvesting more than $9 million a year in tax revenue from arts-oriented enterprise.
Right.
Often, related to what Ed was saying, it seems to me that we hear local schools saying, we can't afford to do arts programs. We got to cut our music and our arts program. Do you feel like you're better armed now to say, hey, when these kids go into a future in the arts, you in government benefit with more tax dollars?
Absolutely. You know, it's interesting. We talk about return on investment in the corporate world, but we now are starting to talk about return on investment, that what, say, city and county government invest in the arts, what is returned in the form not only of improved quality of life, but an economic impact. And I just have in front of me that local government revenue per year was about $5.6 million. and state government revenue, $3.6 million. So it's about $9 million in revenue for an investment that's in the, you know, less than $200,000. So we're talking about a major return on investment. And we don't just talk about ticket sales when we talk about this. We talk about, you know, hotel, nights in a hotel when people come for a weekend. We talk about restaurants benefiting from this. We talk about all the people that are hired by these arts organizations. 2,000 people are hired in the arts organizations. So if you take all of the sources of revenue, it has significant impact for a community.
And we're only talking about one community here, the Charlottesville Albemarle. These figures are just a very narrow and a relatively smaller place, not certainly not among the smallest places in the Commonwealth of Virginia, but it's not a huge city. This is not Northern Virginia, not Tidewater in Norfolk. This is not Richmond. So the numbers will apply across the board relative to the population area and the focus of a community on its arts and cultural and historic activities.
So, Rob Vaughn, in addition to being the co-chair of this Create Charlottesville project where these surveys and economic data were generated, you also, for four decades, have been president of this statewide organization, Virginia Foundation for the Arts. I got to believe that you've got some opinions about what people in Lexington or Woodstock or Harrisonburg or Farmville might do if they want to passionately support the arts in their community and what kind of arguments they could be making to local business leaders or government leaders.
Significant question, and I'm not sure that I can answer it adequately, though I do know something about some of these areas. I'm thinking Stanton, for instance, a smaller city than Charlottesville. Augusta's a smaller county, a smaller population, but it has a college in Mary Baldwin, and it has the American Shakespeare Center. Imagine 20 years ago that an American Shakespeare Center that draws people from all over the world and is considered one of the most significant playhouses in the world, would develop in Stanton, Virginia, instead of in Chicago or New York City, just for example. So the opportunities I would want to focus on here, the opportunities that we have tried to address in Create Charlottesville in our community are available to any community in the Commonwealth of Virginia. And it really doesn't matter whether it's a community of 100,000 or a million, or whether it's 20,000, or even a smaller town like Farmville, which must be in the 7,000-8,000 population range, that has one of the most historic and important civil rights sites in the United States, in the Moton Museum there, built from the Moton School, which experienced a strike on April the 23rd in 1951. The entire black student body from this all-black school walked out in protest. That case made one of the five cases in the Brown decision, and that school has now become a museum for civil rights and education that is known throughout the nation. Another example just of a relatively smaller community that has done something truly significant, even on an international stage. And Lexington, my goodness, how many towns of that size have two well-known, distinguished colleges, universities in W&L and VMI? And the kinds of resources that that community brings.
But do you occasionally battle against, battle may be too strong a word, but run into some degree of opposition from business leaders or community leaders or government taxpayer watchdog types who say, we really can't afford to be spending money on this fluff that is arts and culture?
Tough to hear the word fluff. But there's no question that there are issues, and some of them are quite legitimate. I mean, taxes, for example, they can only go so far, but private enterprise can make up a good deal of that. If people begin to respond in ways that George and Sarah have already spoken about, that the return on the investment, sometimes even small investment, can be enormous for a community, and it varies by size, but nonetheless, even a small community can make enormous progress and supporting arts and humanities and seeing the return that comes there.
Sarah, I just want to make one comment. Sometimes the investment maybe just for a few years to get a really good idea going, like a new festival. But then after that, once it gets implanted and successful, they would need less public support. So a lot of it has to do with seed money, getting an organization going, a new idea, a new arts district, for example, studio space that might be subsidized. After a while, you don't have to subsidize it as much. Sarah has some...
I wish I had thought of that answer.
I think the other important part of this conversation is the private funding as well. I think that public funding is a very important aspect of all arts and culture and really should be supported by local, state, and national governments. And luckily, to some extent, it is. And we would obviously always love to see that grow. But it is still, you know, not a flush time for many localities. So I think that focusing on private investment is also one of the areas that I'm really interested in, because even for local businesses or kind of corporate donors, the return on investment is still very, very impressive for supporting arts and culture. There are great partnerships that come out of those kinds of relationships. I think some really interesting work, especially on that level, is being done in public art, where corporate and business partners really partner with local artists and local arts organizations to get work out there into the public and really benefit the community in a more diverse and kind of open way.
Well, that reminds me, Sarah Lawson, Executive Director of the Piedmont Council for the Arts. I've been wanting to ask you about what I understand is one of your favorite pieces of terminology. Could you explain to me, please, what creative placemaking is?
Yeah, so creative placemaking basically is public art as we tend to think of it, but it's also a lot more. So it's everything from public sculptures to Shakespeare in the Park to public concerts in a downtown area. It's really just anything that gives that sense of creativity, vitality, and arts and culture in a space. So this is something that can be done no matter where you live. It's a matter of getting out into a public sphere and really putting art in that place. So there's really interesting work being done across the nation in creative placemaking, which is a bit of a mouthful for a term, but...
This include the kinds of things that I've seen on the downtown mall in Charlottesville, where there are acting groups who are going place to place,
exactly,
and doing different scenes from some play?
Yeah.
And innocent bystanders just happen to walk by and go, wow.
Yeah, and it's that walking by and going, wow moment that is really what creative placemaking is all about. It's creating a sense of something's going on and I want to be part of it. So it's you know, those public theater performances, but it's also looking up in a tree and seeing that someone has made some kind of sculpture and put it on a branch, or murals.
Yeah. Murals on the walls of buildings.
It's almost anything that really gets you thinking about art when you're out in public.
Okay, we got phone lines open. We know that you've got thoughts about what art is, what culture is, what its importance is in your community or not. If you agree, disagree with anything that you've heard so far, or you have thoughts completely different from what you've heard so far, we'd love to hear from you at 888-WMRA-TALK. Our conversation with Robert Vaughn, Sarah Lawson, and George Beller going to continue in just a bit more than 1 minute. Our guests, Robert Vaughn III, president of the Virginia Foundation for the Humanities and co-chair of this thing we've been talking about called Create Charlottesville, Sarah Lawson, executive director of the Piedmont Council for the Arts, and Dr. George Beller, chair of that council's board of directors. This is Virginia Insight. I'm Tom Graham. We have this Facebook response. Dr. Beller, obviously for you, because on our Facebook page earlier, we put a picture of you and asked the question, is it possible that arts and culture might be good for your heart? And then mentioned that you were a longtime chief of cardiology at UVA. So Ginger posted in response to that, quote, might arts and culture be good for your heart? Absolutely. You have any response to Ginger's take?
I would agree with Ginger. I think it's, you know, if you think about the stresses that people go through today in their jobs and their families, you know, financial stress, job stress, then to be able to go to a concert and just wind down and close your eyes and listen to beautiful music or go through an art gallery, it really makes a transition from your work life and your family life. And it's something that your whole family can enjoy together. So when you say good for your heart, I would say good for your health, good for your mental health, and good for your cardiovascular health, because we know that stress, anxiety, hostility, depression, all those things are bad for your heart. And I think enjoyment of the arts it counteracts all those negative emotions.
I think that's also evidenced in the different partnerships that hospitals and medical professionals are trying to create with the arts community as well. You'll see a lot more art programs popping up in those facilities, anything from putting up local art in the hallways of the hospital to actually doing art therapy with patients. And all of it, I mean, I don't have the statistics with me, but there's impressive studies being done about what impact that has.
You know, I was just thinking as you were talking about arts and led to folk life and folk performance and folk creation. The number of folk life festivals in the Commonwealth of Virginia is just expanding year by year. They're enormous, and they attract huge audiences and people from all kinds of backgrounds. I think that that's a really wonderful, relatively newer contribution to the arts in Virginia, is folk culture.
How concerned are you, Rob Vaughn, about people who are disenfranchised, might be the way to put it, from access to arts and culture?
I would say personally, extremely. I think that's probably true of our other two guests here today, and it's certainly true of many, many organizations in the state. It was quite true of Create Charlottesville. One of our goals there was to increase the diversity of the arts community, whether those are the creators or whether they are the responders and participants. I don't think that we get a full picture of what it's like to be a Virginian, to be a human being in our culture, unless we have an understanding of all of the diversity of representatives of that culture, and unless all of those communities are and individuals are involved in the arts and the humanities and the culture of the Commonwealth of Virginia.
Who do you see missing?
Missing may be an overstatement, but fewer people from the Black community, the African-American community. Interestingly, I'm seeing people who are relatively recent refugees and immigrants, especially from Caribbean, Central American, South American backgrounds, from Asian backgrounds, even from such far afield as Mongolian. And many of those folks are getting involved through folk culture. They're bringing their own folk traditions to Virginia and sharing them with people like me who grew up here, and with George and Sarah and you, Tom, from somewhere in the country. Those, in my mind, are bringing a richness and a perspective that enhances our own perspective, our own education, our own appreciation of what it means to live in the United States and in Virginia and in Charlottesville and in Stanton and in Harrisonburg and in Farmville and any of the other communities that people listening to MRA are hearing today. It's an enormous story. And the more broadly that story is told, the more broadly that community is involved, the better off we all are.
I think Rob's right. It's you know, it's a matter of not one culture of Virginia, but rather it's all of these different components and different individuals and organizations and heritages that come together to really form an identity of what it means to live either in our local area, whatever that might be, or within the state, and even just being an American. It is recognizing and celebrating all of those different aspects. And I think that there are people who are left out or who don't necessarily feel as welcome as they could. And a lot of what the cultural plan and what Piedmont Council for the Arts is striving to do is really make sure that those doors are open and that any impediments that might be preventing either participation or enthusiasm really are dealt with and addressed, and that organizations and stakeholders know that it is something that they should be concerned about and have the tools to begin to address it.
One example might be, we know that jazz, American jazz, has tremendous African-American heritage, you know, beginning in the 30s, 40s, and so on. But we identified, and through one of our other co-chairs, that jazz was not being offered much in the school systems, and you know, embracing the African-American children to learn about jazz and learn about their heritage. And that's part of the cultural plan, is to introduce more music that might be, you know, that they could connect with and which has a history of great contribution to culture in America.
And I would even go so far as to say that if we don't know the stories, no matter how horrible some of them might be, of the varied communities of this state, then we don't know our own story. And that would be true of the Virginia Indian community, for example, which was almost wiped out at one point along the way, and which dates now, people are saying, 18 to 22,000 years ago, the earliest archaeological sites. If we don't know the history of slavery, of the communities that came here at least 400 years ago now, in 1619, the African-American communities, we don't know our own story, and we don't know how to define our future.
The full name of this project that the three of you have been involved with and that you've been a co-chair of, Rob Vaughn, is Create Charlottesville Albemarle, a Cultural Plan. I'm curious what any of you might recommend to people listening far away from Charlottesville who are passionate about the arts and culture and wonder if they could do something similar for their community.
Yeah, well, I think the first step is to contact your local arts council. Piedmont Council for the Arts serves Charlottesville, Albemarle, and the surrounding areas. But everywhere within Virginia, there is either a specific local arts agency that deals with the issues in your area or one in a neighboring area that would probably have some good advice to lend and a good community to get involved with. Often there are already steps being taken to really work on a lot of the same issues that this cultural plan focuses on. But until you become part of that conversation on a larger level, it's difficult to know what other work is being done. So that would be the first step, I think. And then also just, you know, participating in your local arts culture, whatever it may be. I think Rob is right that a lot of the Virginia folklife aspects of arts and culture are really becoming more prominent. And so everything from traditional handicrafts to music and just everything in between, there's some sort of outlet for that probably nearby, wherever you may live within the state. Yeah. And I think that the VFH programs, as well as the different
Virginia
artisan
Foundation for the Humanities.
Exactly. Thank you. But also the different artisan trails that go throughout the entire state now and are continuing to develop further provide really good avenues to discovering what is in your local area.
You know, one thing that we did, which was a grassroots process, was something we call Creative Conversations, which started at least 2 years before the cultural plan, where we got in the same room in a circle, members of the arts community, members of the parks, the city parks and recreation, city government officials,
schools,
business people. And we got them all talking about what can we do to foster more arts and culture, and where can we build? And this was just a grassroots. And I think any organization, if you take a few leaders in a community who feel this is important, they can start developing a group, a coalition of individuals, and do this from a grassroots approach.
Rob Vaughn, what's next with this plan?
Well, let me say, I want to put Sarah on the spot here and say, if you want some advice about how we got the Create Charlottesville underway, call Sarah or email her. What's next? I think there are a number of what's next here, and I think Sarah may be better able to define them than I am. But one thing, we're still getting a group together, the sort of steering committee, occasionally, to say, okay, how far have we come in identifying what the issues are? And one of those issues, for example, is education, the school system that Ed referred to earlier today. How do we get the schools more involved here? One of those issues is the diversity of our community and how we get the full diversity of that community together, working together, going forward. So those are a couple of examples right off the top of my head here.
Yes. Sarah? So to provide a little bit more context also, we kind of jumped into talking about this cultural plan, but it is important for everyone out there to know that this is not just an idea that Charlottesville and Piedmont Council for the Arts came up with. This is a pretty tried and true method for creating basically a strategic plan for your arts community. And so Americans for the Arts is a national advocacy group that really provides a lot of guidance on this kind of development. And so PCA worked very closely with them in developing this. And I highly recommend kind of reaching out to them if you're interested in this as well. But one of the main concerns that they make sure to tell you up front is that once you have the cultural plan created, the implementation and the next steps part is really where the challenges begin. You think that it all has kind of wrapped up nicely once you have the report done, but really it's getting on the ground and doing the work that is recommended by the plan, which is where we are right now. And that's the exciting part. So the strategies that Rob mentioned are part of it, but also, I mean, there's so much related to cultural tourism and livability for artists and making sure that people who are working in the arts sector or the creative industries really have a way of making their living and have the support systems that they need.
Do I understand, Sarah, that one of the things that came up consistently in some of your surveys was that people who would be attracted to coming to a place like Charlottesville to work in arts and culture don't feel like they can afford to live there?
That is often the case. We do have a relatively high cost of living in Charlottesville specifically, and so it is often difficult for people to be able to make art their full-time occupation, which is true in many places also. And so it's really...
Yeah, the phrase starving artist probably
exactly.
came from somewhere.
Yeah,
but it sounds like as all-encompassing as this effort is, it includes trying to address that issue of how to help people survive if they want to try a career in the arts.
Exactly. And that really feeds off of some of the work that Piedmont Council for the Arts does on a day-to-day basis. So it recommends providing additional professional development for artists and really teaching them the skills that they need to be basically small business owners, if you look at it in a certain lens. But then also working with the city and the county and local developers to make sure that, as George mentioned, there are, you know, there's at least the exploration of providing arts districts and different tax incentives for art nonprofits and businesses that cater to those needs. And so there's lots of different strategies like that within the cultural plan. And now we're working with area partners and stakeholders to really find ways to effectively begin making those strategies happen. And it's interesting. There's a lot of exciting work going on.
You know, we're developing marketing tools, for example. We're working with the Charlottesville Albemarle Convention Visitors Bureau, for example, to develop videos to show in Washington, to show in Richmond and others to attract people to come for a weekend. And parts of those videos, not only coming to look at the Piedmont or UVA or the wine, or take a tour of the wineries, but also to make it a whole weekend and go to a concert or go to a play. And so I think that marketing effort has already gotten off the ground with more funding by the county and the city for what we call cultural tourism. So we already are starting to see some, output from the plan.
Would you comment, extend that to people moving to Charlottesville, Albemarle as a consequence of cultural development?
Yeah, I definitely think we're getting more and more. You mentioned earlier we were driving over how many more retirees are coming to Charlottesville, and people who are retired they want something to take up their time in recreation, and arts and culture is one of those areas that they want to partake in. They want to maybe go to the UVA football games or basketball games, but they want to do other things too.
Well, that certainly gets us back to some of the economic factors that can be related to that. But George, it seems to me from what I've heard from you in the past, arts have been important to you since you were a small child, since your parents got you interested in the arts. So in the 20 seconds I have left here, I'm wondering what you can tell me about your dream for today's children as far as exposure to arts is concerned.
Yeah. My dream is that no matter what socioeconomic level you're in, what ethnic group you belong to, religious group, that everyone has an opportunity to benefit, like I did as a child, from the arts. And it once you get exposed early in life, it becomes lifelong, you know? If your parents take you to a museum, you're going to take your kids to a museum 30 years later.
I'm so sorry we are out of time, but let me mention that our guests have been Sarah Lawson, Executive Director of the Piedmont Area Council for the Arts, plus that council's Board of Directors Chair, Dr. George Beller, as well as the co-chair of the cultural plan known as Create Charlottesville Albemarle, in addition to his duties as President of the Virginia Foundation for the Humanities, Rob Vaughn. Thank you all so very much for making time for us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You can find postings of Virginia Insight on the Virginia Insight tab at WMRA.org. When you get to the page for today's broadcast, you will find links to more information about our guests and the work they are doing. Thanks so much for tuning in for this edition. I'm Tom Graham. Hope we can get together again soon for more Insight.